Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome Lisa Brownlee to the podcast. Welcome, Lisa.
Hey, thanks, James.
So Lisa, you are a new guest to the podcast. So as such, I want to make sure our listeners have an understanding of who you are. So you have a BS and MS in chemical engineering from the University of South Carolina. You're a master black belt in Lean Six Sigma, and you have certifications in two highly valid assessment instruments, the Workplace Big Five Profile and the Stylus of Influence. Over the course of your career, you've been involved in all aspects of the manufacturing world, operations, maintenance, and then shortly after that, you got into the leadership piece and then founded your consulting company. What did I miss there in that brief introduction that you may want to fill in the blanks?
Leader's Imago is 5 years old. I'm excited that it has become what it has and is providing value for some companies that are using services of Leader's Imago. And that's it.
Excellent. Now, what are some of those services that you offer?
The flagship program of Leader's Imago is the Team Manager Development Center, which was developed by a mentor of mine, Ellen Davis of EC Davis and Associates, back in the 90s. And it's a 2.5-day simulation style leadership development class that has stood the test of time and continues to be a really unique learning experience for everybody that participates. That's the big one. I'm also working with some other clients on developing company-specific customized leadership development programs, which I create for them and have been delivering. These are longer-term projects, and I'm getting to know these clients' leaders really well and developing longer-term relationships, which I really enjoy.
Excellent. I know we've partnered with you in the past for that leadership team leader development program. It's quite interesting to see some of the people running around the ship, kind of a little frustrated, probably like they aren't at work as they're dealing with all these competing priorities. So I know it's a great program.
Yeah. In fact, I just finished a team manager development center this week. And one of the participants said, "Wow, I felt like I was really at work."
Well, it equips them with the tools they need to do their job more effectively as a team leader.
Definitely.
Now, how long have you been involved in this leadership development, organizational development piece?
I would say about 12 or 13 years ago, my employer at the time identified me to be trained in Lean Six Sigma principles. But along with learning about and implementing standardized processes across the business or across the plant, we were also looking at standardizing other aspects like equipment reliability systems, human resources systems, training systems, you know, approaches to standardize how we did a lot of the operations. And as I have been learning more about organizational development, you know, it really is focused on growing organizational capability by aligning strategies and structures and people and processes and metrics. So I got involved and have just grown in this particular niche since then.
Excellent. And I imagine that as part of driving some of those changes using Lean Six Sigma, a lot of the leadership piece you touch on as well, a lot of that comes around communication, correct?
Oh, yes.
So how important is communication in driving these organizational changes, whether it's implementing a new process, leadership development, and so on and so forth?
Communication is foundational. I mean, team members need to know, you know, where are we going? Why do we need to be there? What happens if we don't? How will I know when we get there? You know, whenever possible, I think team members need to be part of determining how we're going to get there. And engaging employees in these dialogues requires, you know, clear messaging, asking great questions, active listening, certainly anticipating possible questions and pushback, good old change management. But, you know, I think all of these are key components for communication, especially in an organizational change.
Absolutely. It's critical, like you mentioned, involving them in the change, communicating the changes, communicating potential impacts that may happen as a result of some of these changes or implementations. All those things are vital. Anticipating some of those pushbacks or questions definitely helps you prepare a bit ahead of time, so you're not sitting there stumbling over your own words trying to get them an answer that they know you're making up on the fly.
Yeah, be prepared. That's my big advice.
Excellent. Now, with that, I'm guessing we could summarize how to communicate more effectively for our listeners with some tips or principles. How many tips or principles of effective communication do you have today to share with our listeners?
I've been thinking about this, and there are really five keys to success in my mind.
Excellent. So with that, then, what are they at a high level then, those first the five?
Determine your motivation. Number two is identify your audience. Three is build your message. Four is package your message. And five is the all critical check for understanding.
Excellent. Now, these communication tips can be used, I'm guessing, in virtually any type of setting, whether it's a maintenance supervisor providing some coaching to their technicians, whether it's a maintenance manager rolling out changes within their organization to terms of processes or so on and so forth, correct?
Oh, yes. These apply in any kind of communication, but especially communicating organizational change.
Excellent. So let's dive into the first one, determine motivation. What do you really mean by determine motivation?
I think that the person who is sending the message needs to be clear about what is motivating them to communicate in the first place. Like, how much information are you going to communicate? How transparent do you want to be? What are you sharing and why? Like, really, what is the purpose? In the case of organizational change, change creates uncertainty, and uncertainty certainly breeds fear, while transparency can build trust. And I feel like sometimes leaders assume what people need or want to know incorrectly at times. And sometimes leaders choose to withhold information. And this might be motivated by like a power trip, like she who has the information has the power. Or it could be a self-protection thing or the hopes of minimizing harm to others. There's a lot of reasons to disclose or not disclose information. But certainly the leader has to be clear within him or herself about his or her own motives for communicating. That's the first one. Know thyself.
Excellent. So they have to understand what they're communicating, why they're communicating it. Also, potentially trying to put themselves in the other person's shoes and understand what they may want, correct?
Excellent. I like how you said that. Sure.
Now, does this mean that before we do any sort of formal communication, we need to develop a communication plan? Because it sounds to me that's a lot of what tip number one is developing that communication plan.
Yes, and the subsequent tips, at least the subsequent few tips, really are around the communication planning process.
Okay, excellent. So then, moving on to tip number two, what is that?
Identify your audience. This is making a list of the people or groups who are going to need to know about the change, and for that matter, who will want to know about the change, whether they are going to be involved or not. Who is directly or indirectly impacted? Who's involved with implementing the change? Who wants to who's going to have to change the way that they do their work as a result of the change? Who's going to want to hear about progress being made? Who's going to want to give input and feedback about the change? You know, thinking through everybody in the organization that might need to hear about this message. That's identifying the audience.
Excellent. So we need to identify all the different key stakeholders. What message do they need to hear? Why do they need to hear it? How do we frame that up for them, correct?
Exactly.
Now, does everyone have to be communicated to formally with, you know, face-to-face conversations, or are there other avenues that we can have this communication with for some of the people that, you know, maybe are just in the want to know category?
Well, I think that's where tips 3 and 4 help us out. Because like you said, some people who are on the fringes might just need to know something is going on and might need to know the bare minimum. And so tip 3 is around building your message and figuring out which aspects of the audience need to know what. And certainly, as you're talking about, you know, your question was about, does everybody need to know? And, you know, we've got these formal ways of communicating, but what are the informal ways of communicating the message as well? Sorry about that. Anyway, that's where the other part about packaging your message, tip 4, comes in. So when I talk about building your message, you know, this is like painting the picture, the who, the what, the where, why, when, how, all of those are key points about the change to be shared. And the best leaders in my mind are those who are planful about how to articulate their message. Certainly at a minimum, we want to include things like who is implementing, who's impacted, what will be changing, what will be different, what can be expected, where will the change occur, when will the change begin to take place, when will it be complete, and of course, most importantly, the why. Why are we changing? Why is it necessary? What happens if we don't implement the change? What are those risks? And for me, as change is being implemented, there may be additional messages. There will certainly be additional messages that need to be built and shared, kind of like the latest update or news regarding progress.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Excellent. You touched on some key points there. If you think back to John Kotter's model for organizational change, you need to have that burning platform for change, the why. Mm-hmm. What happens if we don't do this? And I recently sat through a class on adult education, and one of the key things they said right up front is, you have to give the big picture. Why are you here? Why are you doing this stuff? If you don't do that up front, the retention level goes down dramatically. And I'm guessing it's very similar to the communication piece. You have to provide that why, or no one's really going to listen or internalize it, correct?
Or they will, in addition to that, if they don't understand the why, they will make up their own why. In the absence of information, people make stuff up. And that is when we can really be in a risky place.
Absolutely. That's where the rumor mill has a tendency to start.
Oh, yes. And it's a powerful communication vehicle, in fact.
Yes, it is. It has the ability to turn the culture or the morale of a group around very, very quickly if it's not managed correctly, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
So once we've built that message, the who, what, where, when, how, why, all that stuff, then we have to package it for tip number 4. What do you mean by package?
So we have numerous outlets for communicating, and my professional communication friends, colleagues have taught me to refer to these as communication vehicles, as in how are you going to drive the communication where it needs to go? And we use forms like email and meeting forums. We've got big meetings, small meetings, posters, electronic message boards and brochures. Now we've got social media. And then, of course, my personal favorite, face-to-face communication, like old school. We already mentioned the rumor mill. But, you know, these cover visual, written, and verbal communication vehicles. We want people to hear a message multiple times with multiple vehicles whenever possible. And the leaders really need to determine which of these vehicles to use. One, to announce the change, and then 2, to follow up with updates throughout whatever that implementation phase is. In my mind, it's kind of like a marketing campaign. You know, we've got to brand the change, we've got to convey the change in all sorts of shapes and sizes, but with the key message clearly repeated every time.
So if I think back to the marketing piece you just mentioned, I'm struggling with the number, but I think it's 7 to 9 times or somewhere in that range that someone has to see advertisement or hear a message before it actually starts to, they start to absorb it, I guess, if you will. Mm-hmm. Is that the same with this approach?
Yeah. And I guess, you know, back to what you said earlier, this is specific to organizational change, although we can use the same sort of these tips whenever we're communicating something to a team member. I don't know if it requires 7 to 9 repeats for an employee to get a message that I'm, you know, the expectation that I'm trying to set. I hope it's less than that. But that's where I think that tip number 5 really becomes critical, this check for understanding. So I'm not sure that I know the exact answer to your question about the repeats for people to get the message, but tip 5 will help us.
Yes, absolutely. And I think how that message is delivered will greatly impact the number of times they need to hear it. If it's a face-to-face communication, it's probably going to be a lot less than if it's something flashing on a display screen within the facility or a general communication going off via email, stuff like that. I think that definitely has an impact on that number.
And to piggyback on that, especially if it's a two-way conversation versus a just one-way conversation, that will also probably change the number of repeats required as well.
Yes, absolutely. Now, one other question on packaging that message. How do we accommodate or work with varied disciplines within a message? For example, if you have a leadership team that's going to go talk about this change, how do we ensure the same message is delivered when you may have a maintenance manager delivering it, an operations manager delivering it, an HR manager delivering it? They all have different backgrounds. They all have different understandings of these changes. So how do we get that same consistent message across these different disciplines or groups of people?
I think that, you know, in the where I have seen organizational change communicated well, it was a team effort, like you're describing. All the key groups were being communicated to. The leadership was prepared. They were clear about the key messages. I mean, bullet points. Help. But when I think of information flowing from the top of an organization, it's like the CEO or the president or the plant manager, whoever that person who's teeing up the first message, meeting with that first tier of management, that needs to be following this process. Who needs to know what among my audience? What do they need to know? How am I going to package it? And how am I going to check for understanding in order to make sure that this first tier of leaders who are going to be communicating this down through the organization are on the same page? I do think having some standards, some bullet points can be really helpful there so that the maintenance manager is singing the same song as the operations manager.
Perfect. Now, once we have this message built, we packaged it, we deliver it, how do we check for that understanding?
Well, as we know, communicating is not a one and done, check it off the to-do list kind of activity. We need to interact with our team members in groups and even one-on-one, you know, asking, what did you hear? How did you interpret that? How do you feel or what do you think about that? This way we can, number one, clarify any miscommunication. And of course, the best leaders will learn lessons about their messaging or packaging as a result of these conversations. And as we do this too, we also hear feedback from team members regarding the change. And if we're lucky, maybe they'll be expressing some delight in the new direction. We can surely hope. More likely, they will express questions or concerns or perhaps other negative emotions about the change, right? Back to the whole change creates uncertainty, which breeds fear. And if that's the case, you know, we need to be actively and attentively listening, engaging these employees and highlighting the risks or issues that maybe we hadn't considered, and engage them in helping us work through addressing those concerns.
Excellent. So we get that feedback. We might get questions. We might get confirmation, all those things. But the key thing you mentioned, though, is as the person, the leader or person delivering that communication, you're going to take feedback from that to improve your future communications.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So these are five great tips for how to package, prepare, deliver, and check for understanding with your communication. Are there any other thoughts on communication that we didn't cover that you want to?
I just repeat a lot, preparation leads to better presentation. One of my former mentors told me that, and I thought, especially when there's a critical message about a change, culture, process, whatever, the more prepared you are, the better it's going to come across, definitely more clearly.
So practice, practice, practice.
Practice, prepare, give it some forethought. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with communication or being a good communicator?
Particularly around organizational change, you touched on it before. It has to do with it being a team effort and being aligned. When the teams I've seen do this well were aligned and they repeated and reinforced the message being conveyed, this helped bring about the message, and so that there was clear understanding across the organization. And, you know, so alignment and teamwork are required for successful communication in a business, and for that matter, in a family or in a community organization, etc.
Absolutely. Now, with that, if you had a magic wand, what would you do to improve communication with your clients or others that you see in industry?
Well, a lot of the groups that I work with are working through change in some form or fashion. And if I had a magic wand, it would be to create this place where business leaders actually do take the time to prepare, create, and use a communication plan. It's one of those tools that it doesn't have to take a lot of time to create, but doing so enables the business to be thoughtful and intentional and planful as they communicate to their employees. It's really a tool to prevent misunderstanding and unnecessary conflict. It also creates some accountability for what's to be communicated. That would be some kind of magic.
And I think it goes back to your previous piece you talked about the preparation. It forces you to think through your communication. How are you going to build that message, package it, deliver it, all those things. It provides that rigor around the preparation as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, we talked about these five different tips for more effective communication within the workplace. What is the one action you would want our listeners to take away that they can do differently today, tomorrow, this week within their organization?
Communication is a process. And just like any process, we have to, on occasion, take a time out and do a little preventative maintenance. We got to see where it's broken or slipping or needs an overhaul. So I think the action is a little honest self-reflection on your own personal communication process, because that could lead you to recognizing where you might want to change something that you're doing to improve your effectiveness in communicating with your team.
Excellent. A great takeaway for our listeners today. Now, Lisa, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about more effective communication within the workplace. But before we go, where can people find out more about you? What activities or events are you involved in? Where can people get in touch with you?
My website is leadersimago.com. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. I keep things up to date as far as what's going on and when opportunities are arising, especially for team manager development centers. So I'd love to hear from folks, especially about communication in their organization, if they've got some personal stories that they could share.
Excellent. I'll make sure to put links to all these references in the show notes so people can easily find it. One last thing before we go, do you have any resources that you may want to share with our listeners regarding more effective communication?
Yeah, I really like the book called Managing at the Speed of Change. It's by a guy named Daryl Connor. He talks about resiliency and about how we're each designed by nature to move through life most effectively and efficiently at a unique pace that allows us to absorb major changes that we face. It's like our personal speed of change, he calls it. And when changes around us occur at a speed that's exceeding our personal absorption threshold, we start to be come tired and show signs of fatigue or burnout or sickness and that sort of a thing. Organizational change is just one contributor to changes that people face. And I think that communication is one way that we as leaders can help our organization absorb and integrate the change or the idea of change so that hopefully we don't send too many people over their personal change thresholds. It's a great book. It's very well written for those who are planning to introduce some change in their organization.
Excellent. Well, I'll make sure to include a link to that in the show notes. And now I have a new book to add to my Amazon list as well. So
excellent. Excellent.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about communication. I definitely appreciate your expertise and your willingness to share your knowledge. I definitely picked up a couple of things that I can do better on communication. So thank you again, Lisa.
Thanks for the opportunity.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing the small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.